IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Because if anyone is going to be miserable, it's going to be me. And we can't all do that. There isn't space for all of that. Right, it is 7:21. Anne Hertzberg, I'm sorry that you had to hear that. But, you know, sometimes a little bit of discipline is necessary. How are you this morning?
I'm okay. I can be testy too.
Well, it is Testy Tuesday, so there we go. So climb right in. Well, in fact, we've all got reason to be testy after yesterday's performative submission of so-called documents of so-called evidence. Tell us, what do we know?
So yesterday, after many months of claiming they were going to be filing this memorial, they call it.
And, okay, so can I just stop you there? Because why is it called a memorial? Every time I hear this on the news, I'm thinking memorial or memorandum? Is the word actually a memorial?
Well, it's sort of it's ICJ parlance.
Ah,
so
okay,
international
fine.
Legal parlance.
Got it.
But so after many months of asking for delay, they finally filed this document. It's not public, so we can't see the details. But they claim it's 750-page memorial with 4,000 pages of exhibits. But I am sure that 95% of this document submitted to the court is basically just a collation of UN reports and NGO reports, and is a very little substance in terms of actual evidence proving anything.
Right.
So, and even when looking at the president's statement online, a lot of propaganda. It sounds out like it's straight out of a Marxist pamphlet from the 1970s. Mm.
Well, yes, because all it is just a repeat of genocide, 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 genocide. Say it often enough and you hope it becomes reality. It doesn't, not in front of a court of law. I see that even Al Jazeera said that it's virtually impossible to prove. So that made me think that they are readying their readers to understand that it's almost that it's not provable.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the other point is, as we've said before, this is a UN court. It's the president right now is a Lebanese politician, which basically tells you everything you need to know in terms of the fairness of the process. And so this court, unlike courts across the world that are actual real courts, can engage in verification and evidence testing. And the ICJ doesn't do that. All it does, it accepts these UN reports, and the judges read these reports, and then they'll read, you know, presumably Israel will put in some information on the other side. And it's basically they're going to give credence to UN reports because that's how it goes, and they have no way or interest in actually testing the veracity of any information that's put in front of them.
So there's no oral evidence and testing of evidence in the same way as it would be in a normal court.
Yeah, exactly. So, and we saw this back in January, when South Africa presented its case, and then the next day Israel was allowed to respond. But it's a big difference when you're responding the next day and people don't quite remember the details than when you could actually challenge someone the second they're making a false accusation. And for instance, one of the claims South Africa made was that Israel deliberately destroyed the humanitarian crossings. And Israel pointed out in its response that no, it was actually Hamas destroyed the crossing with rocket fire gunfire on October 7th. So, but unless you're really paying close attention to the details, you may not remember that.
Right.
So it's really political theater.
And you're right. And of course, add to that the fact that Israel has very publicly taken on UNRWA, even to the extent of now banning them. We've seen them taking on UNIFIL, all United Nations organizations. How fair a hearing can Israel ever expect to receive?
Oh, exactly. At this point, it's impossible. The UN has completely degraded itself, embarrassed itself. It's been completely exposed for corruption, and there's no way that this hearing or this process is going to be fair. Now, Israel doesn't have to respond until end of July 2025.
Oh gosh!
So, in any event, it's going to be many months before. And that probably at that point, and I don't even know if then we'll even see any of these documents publicly. But I think that's also an issue in this case, because now South Africa has been able to dominate the media cycle and put this out there, but no one actually sees the goods. So they can basically say whatever they want, and there's no way to challenge or verify what they're saying in public. And I would just point out that last week, I believe it was last week, the BRICS conference, which South Africa participated in, they were palling around with Putin, an actual indicted war criminal for the International Criminal Court. So I really challenged their supposed commitment to international law and human rights. You know, they're glad-handing Putin and Venezuela and Iran and all these other, and China and all of these other horrible countries. So,
I don't think anybody's really fooled. I don't even think South Africans who have been supportive, some South Africans who have been supportive of this, I even think that they recognize South Africa's obsession, almost rabid obsession, not South Africa's obsession, the ANC's rabid obsession with Israel and Israel hatred. In fact, we saw yesterday there's an ANC announcement where they have a memorial tomorrow evening for Nasrallah, for Sinwa,
wow.
Because you know these martyrs down in Cape Town. There's this memorial, and it's on an ANC letterhead that this is that they're memorializing them. So that speaks exactly to who they are, and they've discredited themselves tremendously in a regular court. If somebody had a concern around a judge or members of the jury, they would certainly ask them to recuse themselves because of the ability to pass judgment fairly. It seems as though that isn't the ability here. Is that right? Israel can't say, well, excuse me, you are in, you know, Israel's involved in a conflict with, in Lebanon, you are not, you conflicted. We need a different body or a different organization. Is that not possible?
Yeah. I mean, Israel could make that request, but ultimately it's up to the judge himself to recuse himself. And again, I think this is what separates out the ICJ, a UN court, versus actual courts that are part of a democratic system. There's no checks and balances with the ICJ. They write their own rules. They can do what they want. And there's no body above them to hold them accountable. So most countries, when you have a court, there is some sort of process or a body above them to sort of monitor what they're doing to make sure they're held accountable. And that's not the case here. So, and that's precisely why we see these absurdities.
It's just really remarkable. But what you're saying is that, in a nutshell, Israel doesn't even need to respond until July 2025, which we still don't know what's in the 750-page document. So this is probably the last we are likely to hear of this for some time.
I would imagine. I mean, I'm sure that they will try to continue to make public relations hay out of this.
Oh, of course.
So they'll just keep, putting stories in, and I'm sure we'll see NGOs and other actors, trying to get arms embargoes or BDS against Israel. Will, say, well, South Africa's put in 4,000 pages of evidence. Yeah. Proving genocide,
Absolutely.
When no one's actually ever seen such evidence.
Right, so. Exactly. And it's written in, I don't know, Times New Roman and a font of 400. So either way, that is where we leave it. Anne Hertzberg is a legal advisor of NGO Monitor, talking about the case that South Africa is bringing to the International Court of Justice around Israel and genocide. Gillian says, you're one of the funniest, quirkiest creatures around. Thanks, Gillian, I think, but I'm not really sure about that. It is 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.